Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It was death by former Dodger Howie Kendrick hitting a tie-breaking grand slam. But I will argue, that came in the 10th inning, and the Nationals are on to the National League Championship Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Boy, who's not excited about that? Man, there'll be seven people watching that NLCS. But anyway, listen, Howie Kendrick had the big hit, but really the game was lost by Clayton Kershaw. This guy is a stiff. All right, and I don't know how many times he has to go out there and do this before finally somebody with the Dodgers says enough is enough. The Dodgers had a 3-1 lead. Walker Buehler pitched his guts out on the mound, pitched a great game, was marvelous, and Kershaw came in, got one out, and then he came back after the seventh inning. You saw the game, you know this, and then Anthony Rendon hit a bomb, and then Juan effing Soto, halfway up the pavilion, to the moon. He hit the ball to the moon. The Dodgers lost in part because of a guy that can't even buy a beer. Juan Soto is not even old enough to buy a damn beer. And he hit a home run to kill him. I mean, Kershaw, retire. You can't even, I mean, keep the ball in the ballpark. Twice. Hall of Famer, my ass. All right. Anyway, I guess we're supposed to frame this like a regular Maller monologue and all this stuff. Listen, I'll be very calm here. The Dodgers have to wear the dunce cap. Dave Roberts should be called in to the principal's office. And in Hollywood fashion, Kershaw going in there and I'll puke over here, I'll puke over there, a little puke for you, a little puke for you. Well, I've often said for 20 years I've been doing this nonsense that the better story is in the losing locker room. Ta-da! Oh, man, oh, man. Well, all right, let's discuss. So the question, what do the Dodgers do now? I know the body is not even cold yet, but what do the Dodgers do now with this latest biblical meltdown from Clayton Kershaw? And shout out Joe Kelly. Why couldn't he pitch like that with the Red Sox? This guy was good in the playoffs of the Red Sox. Somewhere, there's a bunch of people in Boston right now listening that have this evil laugh. They got that evil laugh going. But why don't we focus in here? We'll do with the Kershaw thing. We got a lot to dissect here, but we've got Yellowstone, Bag of Dirt, and Voodoo. And we will put all of these things together and make some Baba Ganoush, because we haven't made Baba Ganoush in a while, so we're going to make some Baba Ganoush, and we'll have some fun. I don't even know what Baba Ganoush is, but I know it's a fun word to say. So, A, I am going to be very level-headed. I think I've already displayed that here for you. I am going to be a reasonable sports talk show host. I'm going to be very professional, calm. I'm not going to be irrational here at all. But I am convinced that Clayton Kershaw is actually the devil. He is the devil in disguise. The devil is real, and he's wearing a Dodger uniform with Kershaw on the back. That is one of my theories on this. That is one of my theories on this guy continuing to harass me in my middle-aged period of my life, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, my God. Kershaw has not only been a pitcher, the guy's a fraud. All right? Let's call it what it is. The guy's a fraud. The LAPD, I walked out of Dodgers. I was at the game, and I saw a bunch of LAPD cars all lit up. It's one of those police cruisers, the paddy wagon, ought to go arrest Kershaw for extortion and put him up on some charges. Kershaw has constantly served up warm, hot poop sandwiches in big moments for how many years? My entire life. I mean, I am convinced. I know he's got a mansion in L.A. and a place in Texas and all that, but I think Kershaw actually lives in Yellowstone National Park. Now, why does Kershaw live? No, I'll tell you. Because he is as reliable and dependable as Old Faithful. All right? You know that geyser? Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs, you put him in there, it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. Now, the people I was sitting with in the media area there, they were all groaning. In the press box when Kershaw entered the game. But there was in the stadium, the entire stadium that was murmuring. Like, what are they doing? What are they bringing Kershaw in for? Why would you do that? Right? You don't have to be a distant relative of the great Nostradamus to see what was going to happen from a mile away. Not even a mile. All right? 100,000 miles away. You could have seen what was going to happen here. And sure enough, on cue, it happened. Voila! There it is. All right. Now, I'm also thinking here, and I had this epiphany when I was driving in, that Clayton Kershaw is actually the Dodgers Manchurian candidate, right? Like, he is someone the San Francisco Giants or some other team put inside the Dodger clubhouse to take the team down from within. Because he rubs off on these other guys that are good with others. Like Joe Kelly was good for the Red Sox in a World Series against the Dodgers. All of a sudden, he's teammates with Kershaw. That's Joe Kelly. All right? And everyone, I'm so tired. Completely worthless. All right? Everyone keeps waiting for this radical transformation. All right? Spoiler alert! This guy is diarrhea. He ain't going to change. All right? Bill Parcells taught me this when I was a kid. I say it all the time. You are what your record says you are. And even by Kershaw's standards, now I realize this wasn't the World Series, and I believe it was Game 5 in Houston will still be the worst of the worst. But by Kershaw's standards, this was in that same category. This was the magnum opus of suck for Clayton Kershaw in that relief outing there. One third of an inning, bam, bam, home run, you're out of here. And again, those home runs would have been out of the bleeping Grand Canyon. If they had played that game in the bottom of the Grand Canyon, they would have hit it out. The Juan Soto home run in particular, that was halfway to heaven up the pavilion there at Dodger Stadium. Now, part B of this, as we talk here on Fox Sports Radio, Clayton Kershaw must be traded. It is not even up for debate. He needs to be put into quarantine. All right, this guy is an enemy combatant of the Dodgers. And forget the Astros, the Red Sox, or the Nationals. It is Clayton Kershaw who has directly been responsible for all of these heartbreak losses in the playoffs. Anyone disagree with that? Does anyone just, I don't care about the Hall of Fame pedigree. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm not interested in his legacy of a regular season dominance. Enough is enough. My advice to the Dodgers, set him free. All right? I know Kershaw's got a couple years left on his contract. Bye-bye! Bye-bye! Sayonara! Arrivederci! All right, so listen. These dingleberries that are running the Dodgers here, I'll get to them later. They tacked on 2 years against my advice, against my counsel. They gave Kershaw 2 extra years. You know what I do? You know, I call the Texas Rangers up. I say, let's make a deal, okay? Let's make a deal. You got a new ballpark. You got a dome stadium you're opening up in 2020. Let's send Clayton Kershaw. I'll even throw in $30 million to take the guy. All right, $30 million I'll throw in because I'm very nice. I'm generous. All right, it's not my money anyway. So I'll throw in $30 million. I send Kershaw to Arlington, Texas. He's from the Dallas area, down the road a little bit. And here's what I want in return. All right, I'm the Dodgers. All I want from the Rangers is a bag of dirt. That's it. Just send me a bag of dirt. Why? Because that is the value of Clayton Kershaw. He's the kind of thing, when you need him the most, he ain't there. It is astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. Now, the last thing here. Lost in all of this brilliance was Walker Buehler. The guy was a total stud. All right? This guy is great. He's the only one I would keep. I'd get rid of everyone else. Him and Max Muncy and maybe Turner. But everyone else I would get rid of. And it turns out, shockingly, you can't do it alone. Well, you could have done it alone if he hadn't thrown 117 pitches. If he had been able to go all the way, that would have been even better. But despite a premier start, a 3-0 lead, right? 3-0 lead, home field advantage, every conceivable edge you could possibly want. And still, they urinated down their leg at the end of the game. Kershaw and Clayton Kelly, we'll call him, or Joe Kershaw, the son that Clayton Kershaw, you know, I guess he's a little old to be Kershaw's son, but man, also useless. And now, you know who I actually blame for this? Well, certainly Kershaw and Kelly are right up there. I actually blame my wife, all right? And I'm going to tell you why, okay? I love my wife. She's wonderful and great and very happy and been married a long time. Well, for me, a long time. I never thought I would get married, so just being married at all is kind of cool. But anyway, I am convinced that my wife, over the last day or so, bought a voodoo doll on Amazon. All right? Now, let me explain why. All right, because she had made plans a couple weeks ago for this weekend. Gala parties, all right, both Friday and Saturday, days the Dodgers were supposed to be playing in the National League Championship Series. So I, of course, informed my wife, you know, it's part of the gig. Can't go to the parties. I got to go hang out at the Dodger games because I cannot go. And I told my wife this. I explained everything to her. She was okay. And I said, well, if the Dodgers lose, you know, I'll be able to go and all that. So now I have no alibi. I have no get-out-of-party card to play because of these bums with the Dodgers. And me, an introvert, I have to now be a social butterfly at multiple parties. I believe there's 3 parties that I now have to attend because the Dodgers, Kershaw and Kelly, the KK team, can't get it done. All right, my God. I even have to wear a Halloween costume this weekend. We got invited to a Halloween party. I wouldn't have had to have done that if these idiots with the Dodgers would have ended the game and won, but of course they not. Let's hear from soon-to-be former Dodger manager Dave Roberts. He is on the outskis here. Here is Roberts. You must be very pleased. You've seen this before from your Dodgers in the playoffs, right?
Obviously very, very you know, disappointing is probably an understatement, but I think it's just one of those things that, you know, we got beat and just disappointed for everyone.
Yeah. Please. Shut up, okay?
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
Yeah, yeah. Kershaw. What do you think of Kershaw in that spot? What do you think of Kershaw? Yeah, I liked him in that spot. All right. Here is Roberts. You hear the question, the answer, and the obvious Komodo dragon in the room, Clayton Kershaw in the regular season versus Clayton Kershaw in the postseason.
When is analytics going to come into play and, you know, show that Kershaw hasn't been, you know, successful in the postseason?
That's a tough question for me to answer.
It's a loaded question. Yeah, it's a loaded question.
What a great question there.
It's a good question. So he's afraid. Everyone's afraid of Kershaw. Maybe if somebody said, hey, Kershaw, you suck, and one of the people actually work. I mean, we say it all the time here. And we say it all the time. But how about somebody that actually works for the damn team? I mean, sweet baby Jesus. Do something. Do an intervention. Oh, we can't criticize Kershaw. Oh, my God. Now, here's more on the Dodgers' loss to the Nationals. Dave Roberts commenting on his decision to stick with Joe Gas Can Kelly.
Just could you take us through your thought process in the 10th, bringing back Kelly for a second inning, intentionally walking Soto rather than Kolarik, and letting Kelly face Kendrick?
Yeah, obviously, Kelly, you're looking at obviously a tie ball game, and Kelly goes in there, throws 10 pitches, and he's throwing the baseball really well. He's arguably our most rested reliever, and the way he was throwing the baseball, I felt it was pretty easy, but I just felt that Joe had a good chance to put Howie on the ground and potentially then get Kenley on Zimmerman, and so my thought was to try to get a ground ball right there. I liked him in that spot. I really did.
Oh, God. I need some antacid or something. I mean, this is...
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
No, you're torturing me, Roberto, with that. I don't want to hear that. I don't need to hear that. I know that's a crutch that Dave Roberts says because he should have all of these things down. I mean, he does it every year. They have to give the same concession speech. Speaking of concession speeches, Clayton Kershaw, is anyone in professional sports in the last 50 years more of a choke artist than this guy? I don't believe there is, but here is Kershaw explaining, what happened.
I had one job to do, just get three outs, and got one out, and didn't get the other two, and they went over the fence, cost us the game right there. So it's a terrible feeling. There's no excuses, just didn't make pitches, and guy hit it over the fence twice. So.
Yeah, that was, the word is hideous, all right? That was repulsive, okay? You want me to go on? I got other adjectives I can go on with. Mortifying, but I would say mortifying, but I mean, he did blow a four or five run lead in the 2-4 run leads, I believe it was, in the
2-4 run leads in the World Series.
2017 World Series. Wow. All right. They didn't even get to the NLCS. They would have won. There would have been a cakewalk against the Cardinals, but no.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals have won a playoff series. Holy Montreal Expos. Yeah. I see people posting things. Well, Bryce Harper must be so upset in Philadelphia or in Vegas where he's in the offseason. He must be so bummed out. No, he's not bummed out. He didn't want to play in Washington. He wanted out of there. For whatever reason, he wanted out. Top dollar. He got his money from Philadelphia. He's eating cheesesteaks and tasty cakes and doesn't have to worry about that. He's not worried about the Nationals at all. But if you didn't see the game, consider yourself lucky. Consider yourself lucky. It's a good job by you. But the Washington Nationals with that natitude, Juan Soto and Anthony Rendon setting up what would be a historic night of baseball for Washington's franchise, because Clayton Kershaw, if the Dodgers had a 3-0 lead early, 3-1 lead, Kershaw came in and did what Clayton Kershaw does, as only he can do, and just, P.U. Yeah. In competitive eating parlance, they call that the reversal of fortune, is what they call that when someone does what Kershaw has done on a regular basis. But Anthony Rendon hit a mammoth home run, and so he was just wonderful in this series. And he's a free agent. He's going to get paid a ton of money. But 3-for-5 at a homer, 2 doubles, 3 runs scored, and extra inning win for the game went 10 innings. Dodgers, the Nationals tied it on Rendon and Juan Soto. Juan Soto, he drove in the first run of the game with a single to right off Walker Buehler, and then he decided, well, let me muscle up here, and boom, boom, to the heavens. The ball went to the heavens, a home run, but then the final blow from one Howie Kendrick, death by former Dodger, Howie Kendrick, who has been the butcher at first and second base. I was there all day at this Dodger game, and the Nationals manager was yapping away about how, well, we put Kendrick at second base, Davey Martinez, because we think he'll be better defensively at second base. We like him more, much like Dave Roberts says. He said something similar, and then Kendrick butchered a ball in the field and all that stuff. But he's in on a baseball team in the majors because of his bat, not his glove, and Howie Kendrick, with the bases loaded, Dave Roberts decided to leave Joe Kelly in the game, and Joe Kelly tossed the most delicious meatball right down the middle.
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
And Howie Kendrick, he was a little hungry, and his eyes lit up. He said, yeah, I can't believe this. I've been in the major leagues for like a decade, and I get to hit against this meatball? I mean, this, you know, in the Little League World Series, they don't get pitches like this. And this is the major leagues in a playoff series, and sure enough. Well, the better story continues to be in the losing locker room, so we will have our second consecutive Maller monologue about the fallout, the good, bad, and ugly from what turned out to be a win for the Washington Nationals, 7-3. Dodgers scored the first 3 runs, 7 unanswered runs for the Washington Nationals. All right, so The question, what are some of the takeaways here from this latest disappearing act by the Dodgers? Yeah, they are like your favorite Vegas magician. Presto, abracadabra, hocus pocus, and they're gone. Just like that. So my views, you've got the War Tribunal, Amelia Earhart, and Wi-Fi. And we will combine all these things together, and we'll see what we get. Now, number one, let's start with Dave Roberts.
Number one.
Or as I call him, Dave Effin Roberts, taking that from Bucky Dent back in the day. Now, let me tell you, Dave Roberts is a nice enough fellow. He is. Pretty popular with the media. A good quote. I'd put him in the likable category. Professional. Works with management. If I owned the Dodgers, I'd hold a war tribunal. I'd fire Dave Roberts. I know they just gave him a contract extension.
You're fired.
But, yeah, the players have to perform. You can put players in position to succeed. But you have to be wise enough. I know you say, oh, trust your players. But at the same time, you got to use some logic in here. And some guys just are gutless. And the Dodgers, unfortunately, have a lot of guys that are gutless. And Dave Roberts keeps putting these guys in big spots. And you can say, well, there's no one else to put in these big spots. But, okay, that's the way, you know, life isn't fair. That's how it works, right? I mean, popular people, good people lose their jobs all the time. Happens all the time. Now, I know this won't happen, but here's what I would do if I owned the Los Angeles Dodgers. I was one of the Guggenheim partners. I would fire Roberts, because who cares? Just money. I'd fire him, and I would try to get back to some love from the old school Dodger fan. I'd hire Socha. I'd bring Mike Socha in, the old Dodger catcher from back in the day, and I would put him in the dugout and say, here, go fix this mess. Because one thing about Socha, when he had good team players in Anaheim, he was able to get a lot out of those players, and you know, he hadn't had a lot of good players the last several years with the Angels, and obviously the team sucked and all that stuff, but the Dodgers have talent. They are lacking courage in certain situations and guts and all that, but they have the talent. So I would look at Kershaw. I also, last hour, if you missed it, I have Clayton Kershaw traded, and I would sign Madison Bumgarner. So that would be my move. Or if they want to keep Kershaw, because I would just not leave him on the playoff roster. I would just say, okay, you're only a regular season player. Go to Cancun during the postseason. Just do not play. All right, just don't play and all that. But Dave Roberts, you got to put this guy through the ringer. He's got to be the world's worst chess player. This is a telegraphing disaster. I'm not the smartest person in the world when it comes to this baseball stuff, but if I can project ahead what Dave Roberts is going to do, and I'm a dummy, you think the other team and the other players can also project that, who are in the profession and in the business and in the fraternity of baseball? I think so. I would have avoided Clayton Kershaw like being in the room with someone who has the bubonic plague. All right. Now, in the press box, it was said to me that the 1988 Dodgers, the last Dodger team to win the World Series, had Oral Hershiser. You know what his nickname was if you're a millennial? His nickname was the Bulldog. That was his nickname, right? Lasorda gave him the nickname Holding. Bulldog. Came in big spots, Captain Clutch. The 2019 Dodgers and the last couple of years of the Dodgers have Clayton Kershaw. You know what his nickname is? The Choking Dog. That's his nickname. So they went from the Bulldog to the Choking Dog is what they did. Kershaw's more like a lap dog. You know, he's more like a lap dog than a Labrador or anything like that. But you know, someone needs to give this guy the Heimlich maneuver. He suffocated on the mound. And Joe Kelly out there, Joe Kelly serving up cream cheese. Serving up cream cheese out of that Dodger bullpen. Now, to expand on Clayton Kershaw, I've already got him traded, so you know that. I've already got him traded. But Clayton Kershaw has now appeared in 33 postseason games for the Dodgers. He has given up 26 home runs in those 33 games. So almost a home run per appearance. Per appearance in his career in the postseason! 26 home runs in 33 games! There's only 7 games that he has appeared in where he didn't give up a home run! Dodgers now have a 15-17 record. Now, I was told by my friend Sports with Coleman, who is also dancing on my grave, my great Baltimore radio buddy, that I need to point out that Clayton Kershaw, his numbers, here are the stats. Kershaw in the regular season, a 2.44 ERA. Kershaw in the postseason a 4.43 ERA. It is almost exactly two runs higher in the postseason. For this guy, he's a bum. Almost two runs higher. No, I know the argument. Oh, he's trying. He's not trying to suck like this. I don't care. I don't care. He results. It is a result-based business. We hear this all the time. And the damn Dodgers, all right, these guys, they are getting a little bit of a free road here. But you know, in the L.A. sports market, I know we're on a national show, but in Los Angeles, you know, you look around, you know, the Rams, although they're not as good as they were last year, pretty good. You've got competition with the NFL now. The Lakers and Clippers have both put marvelous rosters together. They've improved tremendously. And the Dodgers, as much as I love this team, they keep raising the ticket prices. They keep raising the concession stand prices at that ballpark. The TV deal, where most of the people have to, you know, go illegally stream Dodger games to watch them on television. And, you know, at some point, the chickens come home to roost here. And, you know, it's like people aren't going to put up with this nonsense forever here. Enough is enough. In fact, Kershaw, I want to go back to Kershaw here. Because Kershaw, his ERA at 4.43. And the pro-Kershaw crowd, the Marching and Chowder Society of Clayton Kershaw, all right, these people, they say, well, it's a small sample size. He's pitched almost 160 innings. That's not a small sample size. That's a long, big, fat sample size for Clayton Kershaw. So don't give me your excuses. Don't give me your alibis. I don't want to hear about it. All right? I've seen enough. I'm done. I mean, if he's pitching, I will. That's it. They're going to lose. I mean, in a playoff game. He's fine on a random Wednesday against the Padres or a random Thursday against the Giants, but it's something about October. He is, we said this a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, about Kershaw. He is as much a October tradition as Halloween. Spooky. He is spooky. Halloween's spooky. Kershaw is spooky. But a 4.43 ERA. Keep in mind, the Dodgers have already paid Clayton Kershaw $204 million. And, but wait, there's more. They've got 2 years left at $62 million. So by the time Kershaw's contract is up, he will have taken home in his 401k $266 million. And in the postseason, yeah, he has been about as effective as two left hands or two left feet or your shoelaces tied together and all that. Now, the second thing here, only in golf is subpar considered a good thing. Would you agree with me on that, right? In golf, if you are under par, that is a wonderful thing. Everyone, weekend warrior golfers want to be under par and all that stuff, subpar. A friend told me that Andrew Friedman, his contract is up after the playoffs now, and so he is technically a free agent. And I know I like the Red Sox also, so I'm in an awkward position here, but the Red Sox have a GM opening. They like big names. Andrew Friedman's a big name. I wouldn't put it past the possibility of the Red Sox doing some due diligence through surrogates and contacting Andrew Friedman just to see if he's interested. And it would be a good situation for everybody because Friedman could leave, go to Boston, and try to figure out the mess that Dave Dombrowski left for the Red Sox. And then the Dodgers can say, well, we left. I mean, he wanted to go to Boston, and then they can go bring somebody else in who maybe won't sign players like A.J. Pollock and Joe Kelly and players that are bums like that and somebody that actually, you know, picks up players that contribute. Hell, I'd rather have Dave Dombrowski. And he's a free agent also. The old Red Sox, just trade. Dombrowski to the Dodgers, and Friedman can go to be the GM of the Red Sox. But it's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable. Los Angeles offense also. I've been badgering and poking Kershaw and Joe Kelly. But the Dodger offense also needs to be put in center square here because the Dodgers played like a vampire. They were like Dracula here, the Dodger offensive play. It's like they were exposed to sunlight or garlic or something, and they couldn't, except it was a night game. And they stopped putting pressure on the Nationals. One of the cool things about getting the lead early in the game is you can continue to harass the opposing team and stack on runs. The Dodgers didn't do that. What'd they get, like two hits after the second inning, the final eight innings, something like that I saw? It was an Amelia Earhart special. Now, I know that's an outdated reference, but Amelia Earhart, a very important figure in the history of aviation and whatnot. And the reason the Dodgers' offense is like an Amelia Earhart special is because looked great early in the game and then disappeared from the radar, just like Amelia Earhart as the game progressed there. Thank you. I'll be here all night. But listen, the Dodgers jumped out, 3-0 lead. And then they vanished. Played zombie baseball. I love Max Muncy. He's good. Corey Seager's dead to me. A.J. Pollock looked like Blind Scott at home plate. I think Blind Scott would have made more contact if he had been there. We already talked about Cody Bellinger. Mr. MVP is going to win the National League MVP. He will have a dunce cap when he picks up the National League MVP. No home runs, no RBIs in the NLDS for Cody Bellinger, who... It's amazing. Why don't teams just throw pitches low and away to Bellinger during the regular season? He'd be out of baseball. The guy can't hit those pitches low and away. Just throw nothing but slop. Nothing but slop. All right, final word on this, and we have some sound we'll play a little bit later in the hour, but the final word here. So the people do need to be held accountable. I believe I've done some of that. And the Dodgers, I said, are on notice a little bit. The Dodger fan base is not going to keep putting up with this year. They packed Dodger Stadium. They have the most attendance in baseball, despite the ridiculous ticket prices and all that. And they have not won a title since Ronald Reagan was in the White House. They have not won a title since Reagan. So I have a theory. I blame it on Wi-Fi. The Dodgers have been ramshackled in the age of social media. They're just not a social media franchise, right? Since the internet, the Dodgers have been an abject failure in big games, right? Utter incompetence. And Clayton Kershaw, as I've already pointed out, is beyond repair. The Dodgers set a franchise record for regular season wins, 106 wins, right? But you are ultimately judged by October, right? And you would have rather, if you like the Dodgers, you would have rather scratched out 90 wins, barely made the playoffs, maybe sneak in as the wild card team, and then play great baseball, flip the switch in the playoffs. Instead, these guys crumble. It is a sad state of affairs, and they always seem to have a hitch in the giddy-up. It's always, usually it's Kershaw every year. That's reliable, old faithful. And then you got a couple other guys that suck at a time you cannot suck. And they ought to bring in, forget Andrew Friedman, they should bring in the Pep Boys, Manny Moe and Jack, because that Dodger team needs a tune-up. The check engine light is on. The check engine light is on. And if this was the Wizard of Oz, then, well, Dodgers have a lot of guys that are the cowardly lions of the movie. And they also have Clayton Kershaw, who I believe is the Wicked Witch of the West. I believe that is who Kershaw is, the Wicked West, Witch of the East, or West, or East, or wherever. I haven't seen the Wizard of Oz in a long time, so doing that off memory.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. Fire. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, here we go. Third degree time, Kubaloo.
Ben, two names that have come to the surface to replace Joe Maddon in Chicago are Joe Girardi and David Ross, who both have interviews scheduled this week.
Yeah.
Ben, who would you bet on getting the job, or do you have a dark horse?
Well, that's racist. It doesn't sound
racist
to me like the Chicago Cubs are going to widen their horizons here with their managerial search. This move has been choreographed for months. I mean, Joe Maddon was a lame duck manager from the time he showed up to spring training. It was in the last year of his contract. So Theo Epstein has had plenty of time to go and search around to see who he wants to bring in and talk to people around baseball. This is David Ross's job to lose. Who are we kidding? Now, it doesn't mean he's going to get it, but we will see if he has the stomach for the interview process, David Ross. But I mean, Ross would have to show up like wearing a clown costume and drooling to not get the job. But it has happened before. Joe Girardi's a nice fallback option, an old Cub before he became Yankee-ized and got Yankee-itis and all that stuff. But he should be under no illusion that he's actually going to get this job, Girardi, unless Ross just blows it. All right, next.
Cam Newton was spotted at practice this week without a walking boot. This means he's nearing a return, and it could be as early as week 8 when the Panthers return from bye. Ben, Kyle Allen has gone 3-0 so far as Newton's replacement. Any chance the Panthers don't bring Cam back at all?
Well, they should. Listen, they should keep Cam Newton in quarantine. Keep him away. All right. Keep him out of here. He's got a little Kershaw on him. Remember, his signature moment in the NFL was not diving on a fumble in the Super Bowl. That's his claim to fame. That and the whole yogurt deal and all that nonsense. But number one, this is actually a blessing in disguise for Carolina. Cam Newton has not been a great player for several years, and he has been good at drawing attention to himself. He's not terrible, but he's like, I put him in that mid-level quarterback here, and not always making those plays to win games. Now, should Kyle Allen continue the road he is traveling here, the Panthers, they ought to say, you know, Cam, why don't you take all your sick time, all your vacation days, and all that stuff before you come back? We're good. We're all right. The second thing here, the trump card for Kyle Allen is ball security and his ability to avoid pressure. Over these three starts, Kyle Allen has 6 touchdowns and no interceptions. Now, he has fumbled a few times, but he's got the 4th best passer rating in the NFL. You don't remove a guy who's in the top 5 in passer rating and not throwing interceptions unless you're insane. Next!
Yesterday during Too Much or Not Enough, you mentioned that the last 2 times that the 49ers started 4-0, they made the NFC Championship. Could you see it happening this year, or are they paper tigers?
All right, so a couple things. First of all, it is going to be an intriguing, think of this like a horse race in the NFC West. It's in equine parlance, it's a 3-horse field, Niners, Seahawks, and Rams, and we are just past the quarter pole mark, and if you've ever been to the track before and bet on the ponies, and the horse that leads after the quarter pole mark very rarely actually wins the race. Right? It does not happen as often as you would think. So, well, you get off to a good start, you're going to get playing from ahead and all that front running. No, it doesn't happen all that often. That horse rarely finishes the race in first place. Now, secondly, there are no clear and obvious weaknesses at this moment for the team that resides in Santa Clara. They are second to Baltimore in scoring defense, or offense rather, second to the Patriots in scoring or total defense. Nick Bosa has played like Captain America. He's been great. But he is injury prone because his last name is Bosa. And all those Bosas, they get hurt. They get hurt a lot. Ask Joey Bosa, who misses every other game for the Chargers. And Jimmy Garoppolo has yet to make it through the entire season, any season, without missing a large chunk of time. So the Niners are a contender, but they are not the presumptive favorite to win the NFC Championship at all. All right, there it is. Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you passed this edition.
That is a winner. Unlike the Dodgers, I passed. See that? Winner. Winning. Right, time now for the instant trivia. We'll go back to the Carolina Panthers. Very popular team to talk about on the radio. Christian McCaffrey joined blank as the only players with 500-plus rushing yards and 250-plus receiving yards in his team's first 5 games of a season in NFL history. So again, Christian McCaffrey of the Panthers joined blank as the only players with 500-plus rushing and 250-plus receiving yards in his team's first 5 games in NFL history. The answer is next. I always enjoyed Uranus.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's now time for...
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go. We're off to the races. It is time now for Ask Ben, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you. Well, it does say Ask Ben. There are questions you can ask for Eddie and Roberto and Koopa Loop. A lot of people, judging by the email, Eddie, very excited to hear your meet and greet with Doc Mike. There's a lot of anticipation there. So you should make it a whole event at Connie's Pizza. Get all the Midwestern Mallard Militia people to hang out with
you. All are welcome that want to show up.
I can't wait till you first meet Doc Mike. It is an experience you will not forget when Doc walks into the room.
Friday, October 25th, 6 o'clock, Connie's in Chicago. Be there.
And Frankie's going to be there, too.
I hope not. But
Frankie's a made man.
I don't know who that is.
All right, Koopa Loop. These are actual questions from actual listeners. What do we have?
Ben, we're going to start off with a question for you.
All right.
This is from Cardiac Stanley. Ben, what are you going as at your wife's Halloween party?
Well, as any married man will tell you, whatever she picks, I will wear within reason. I mean, I don't fit into a lot of crap, but
Frankenstein and, last year, right?
Yeah, I've been Frankenstein. Yeah. I've been the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah,
the past
those are all
years.
Appropriate.
Yeah. So I don't know. She's gonna have to cook something up. She only has a couple days now because I was planning on not having to go to the Halloween.
How about
party.
Clayton Kershaw?
What, I just be a puke? You guys start wearing a puke?
You could have like some fake vomit all over your jersey.
I can
jersey
poop and, all over my pants and say I did a Kershaw. All right. Next.
Now, I just want to point out real quick,
yes,
Ben.
Yes, cool.
I usually make a post on Facebook to get questions for this.
Yeah.
And I usually put a picture on there because pictures draw people in and encourage them to post.
People love that.
Today, I did like a meme. It's, you know the one with the guy pointing at his head? And this one says, it's Kershaw's face instead. It says, can't choke in the World Series if you choke in the NLDS. And it got 87 comments on this post. More comments than we've ever had on an Ask Ben post.
Really?
Not a single one is an Ask Ben question. It's just all people trolling.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, you want to see my email, my inbox? I mean, my God.
Anyway, on
with... And so this is why people say I do negative radio. I want to address that. I know you didn't ask that question, but people say I do negative radio and that's human nature. I know the human nature. People love Schadenfreude. Like, there are people that don't even give a crap about the Dodgers that love the misery that I'm... They don't even care about Kershaw. They love the misery that I have to come in here, 4 hours of torture. All right.
That's true.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
But we do have questions on Twitter.
I'm convinced that Clayton Kershaw and, Chris Paul are the same. I still remember that 2015 Game 6 against the Rockets. All right, next. Keep going here.
All right, this is a good question from Little Troller. Everyone, would you rather be 4'5" or 7'7"?
Huh. Well, both would be odd in different ways. But I think it would be cooler to be the super tall guy. So I would go with the super tall guy because people kind of, I mean, I feel bad for people who are really short. People goof on them and stuff like that. They feel bad for them and, you know, call them nasty names. But I think the tall guy would be like a freak show. So what about you, Eddie?
Well, that's an interesting way to say it as far as what you want to be. I don't know that I'd want to be a freak show.
I watched that documentary about Andre the Giant. It was crazy.
But I think it would be so inconvenient. I mean, just in so many different ways.
Oh, sure.
If you're shorter, I mean, you're usually going to find a bed you could sleep in and a car you can drive and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's true. You can shop in the kitty section.
Yeah, if you're 7-something, though, I mean, you can't do anything. So I'll be the shorter guy.
All right, I'll be the tall guy. Roberto?
I'll be the tall guy, man. Look at the bagel guy. Can't get any chicks, man.
That's right. He's a shorty guy.
He's got a bad attitude, though.
What about you, Koopaloop?
Look, I agree with everything that Eddie said, and I think he's right. But I've been the short guy my entire life. So at this point, I would be the 7'7" guy. Even though, if you're 7'7", you're probably not living past like 45 or 50. So
yeah, you don't see a lot of super tall people at retirement homes. You don't see that. Yeah. All right, let's keep it going. Here it is. Ask Ben. Your questions are answers. For the rest of the hour.
This question's been asked many times throughout the years, but it's Ernie the Great Opiner.
Hi, Ernie.
And he asks it like every week, so we'll just ask it again.
Ernie's one of my favorites.
Do you remember the first car you had, and what was it?
Yeah, it was like a early 1970s Velari. It was a brown Velari. It was my grandfather, Mr. Jack Maller, proud of Chicago, but he was in L.A. obviously when I was a kid. But he gave me his car, and it was cool. I loved it. It had these big bucket seats, man, and I loved that car. All right, what about you, Eddie?
1982 silver Toyota Corolla SR5.
Solid. Was that a hand down? Was that a hand down from a relative or something?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. What about you, Roberto?
1986 Chevy Silverado. My dad gave it to me.
Silverado, you like Petros?
Yeah.
What about you, Coop?
A 2002 Hyundai Tiburon.
Oh, Tiburon. What is it? A Tiburon?
It's a Tiburon, yes.
Tiburon.
I don't think I've heard of that.
It's a shark. A Tiburon is a shark.
Yeah, Tiburon. Okay.
It's a coop. It's like, you know, I thought it was a cool little...
A coop for the
coop.
That's appropriate. All right, let's keep it. That's interesting. I keep it going. It's Ask Ben Your Questions, Our Answers.
It's from the Aussie guy.
Hi, Aussie guy.
What is the most embarrassing situation that you found yourself in?
Pretty much every time I get in front of a microphone, it's very embarrassing. But one time I was at the Fox lot years ago, and I sat in a chair, and there was this like a screw on the chair and ripped my pants, the back of my pants. And I had to walk out of that building with my pants completely torn. I didn't have a jacket. I didn't see my underwear. That was pretty embarrassing. What about you, Eddie? Quickly.
I was on the radio, and I called the guy that was at the remote. I was throwing it out to him. I called him by the wrong name, and the name was of another radio guy that... Hated it. It was not good.
That's not good. Any real quick, Roberto?
Walking in today.
Walking in today. Welcome to my life. What about you, Koopaloop? Anything quick?
I have no shame.
No shame? Nope. Everyone's got shame. Life's embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing, this life we live.